Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Today, though, I want to talk about insecurity. Everybody shout insecurity. Insecurity. Everybody's insecure. Look at your neighbor and say, I know that about you. You're insecure. We're all insecure. Everybody. A lot of times I get heat for saying that I'm friends with Joel Osteen, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're not just friends. We're like extremely good friends, like nickname. My name's Crankster with him. We're buddies. We've been everywhere in the world together, and he's incredible. And if you knew Joel, it's the church people that don't like Joel and the devil, because every day he says, I'm not locked across the broadcast without giving you an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus. His personal Lord says, so church people are like, you can't do it that way. But when you get to heaven, like, Jesus is really going to like him. And by the way, people are saying, is Jesus black or white? Because you see all the pictures of Jesus being white. And those were all done by people who were white. So like, Jesus is, it says he's bronze because he's Jewish. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. And I think Jesus is all things to all people. When you get to heaven, you're going to be surprised, because Jesus is going to say, buenos dias. So we all try to, you know, stereotype everybody, put everybody in a box. But back to Joel. Joel is insecure. You never merely know it about Joel, but Joel can't go in a room alone, like in a... I've been like in the halls of Congress with him or whatever, and he's like, hey, I need PD to go with me. Or he'd go to Kojak Convention, which is a 30,000 convention of African Americans, and he was asked to speak. He's like, I can't do without PD. And so I'll ride with him and tell him, let's go. And so I'll be kind of the front guy with another guy named Phil if I'm not there. And so he feels comfortable. If not, Joel gets really scared, really freaks out. And then if they interview him, he always goes to the same story. And I know what the story is going to be. Well, when I got the compact center, you know, I had tickets back here to the left side, and I asked Victoria to go on a date with me, and I just met her, and I went to get my watch battery replaced, and she sold me a new watch, and she's been taking my money ever since. He's going to go to that story every time, because insecurity makes him go in this track. So all of us are insecure. And so what I want you to acknowledge today is not the fact that you're not insecure. Embrace the face of whatever it is that you have. So maybe you're too short in your mind, or you're too tall in your mind. You know, man has manipulated your mind to think, I can't be successful if I don't have an education. Well, there's more than one way to get an education. I'm all for a degree, but I have all kinds of people that are employed at our organization that have degrees, but they still can't lead right because they just have the license to learn. But then I have some people that don't have a degree, but they have a lifetime of education that makes them a monster leader. So don't focus on what you're not. Focus on what he is and what he designed you to be, and be secure being the best you that you can be. I like that, but I don't love it. Come on, somebody give it up for Jesus today. I was preaching recently in the Bahamas, and I got this little video clip of a great pastor who's rocking the whole nation, and here's what he had to say.
Hi, my name is Dury Thomas, and I lead a growing church in the island of Exuma, Bahamas, called Relevant Kingdom Center. I remember as a kid growing up, I was diagnosed with a rare blood disorder called lupus. As a result, these scars started to grow on my face and my scalp. I felt insecure, less valuable, depressed, walked with my head hung low because I was afraid of what other people may say or think when they see these scars. It wasn't until I gave my heart to God that I realized that he had a plan for my life. I had a mindset reset, and I started to walk in his favor rather than my flaws. I remember Pastor David Crank coming to Exuma, Bahamas recently and helping me to further boost confidence. And he said three words I'll never forget. He said, son, God said to embrace the face. And I tell you what, ever since that day, I've been walking in my godly confidence, knowing that these scars tell my story, that I've got favor with God, and that I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Come on, give it up for Pastor Thomas. Embrace the face. That's what I told him. Embrace the face. I said, listen, when I told people that I was preaching at your church, they said, what church? And then I told them you. They said, oh, it's the guy with the face. So the very thing that you think is helping, it's not helping you, is actually helping you, because you're just another Bahamian brother until this thing. So in other words, you take the tragedy and you turn it around into a triumph situation in your life, because everybody in here has something that they're insecure of. And most of the time, it's because of a little thing called, and I want you to write it down, pride. But before I talk about pride, I want to talk about the difference between being proud and being in pride. So like, I'm proud of our church, but I'm not in pride about our church. I'm proud of my daughter, but I'm not in pride about my daughter. So there's a difference between being proud and being in pride. It says that God resists the proud, or those people in pride. So this is what I am. This is who I am. And there's an arrogance about it. And it's not pointing to Jesus, it's pointing into you. So therefore, if anything changes with the way you look or the way you live or the lifestyle, then your pride, everybody have heard this? Like somebody fell and you're like, I'm okay, but you knew their pride was hurt. Well, we're not worried about hurting our pride. We want to destroy our pride because it is the very thing that keeps us back, that doesn't make us attractive to other people, because it's proud, prideful people that can't receive not criticism, but constructive criticism. But if you're not cautious, you walk around and your pride will get hurt and you're like, I can't go to church anymore because people know that I stopped going to church for a while. Or, you know, if I'm in this group now or if I go here, people are going to say, they're going to know I'm divorced. What are they going to say about my divorce? Here's what they're going to say. I know this. I'm 49 years old. Here's what they're going to say. They're going to say that you got a divorce. When you lose your house, they're going to say that you lost your house. That's what they're going to say. So if you just embrace that and go, yeah, you just walk in the room and I got divorced and I lost my house, but I'm losing weight and I am available. Come on, somebody. So follow me and we'll hook up. Come on, somebody. You ought to help me right now. Embrace who you are, not what you're not. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. They'll put it on the screens. It says, for the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance when you're picking out a king or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So if you're looking at your outward appearance of the person that you're going to date or the person you're going to hire, you're looking at the wrong thing. You got to look at the heart. Anybody like me, and sometimes your head's wrong, but your heart's right. If people knew your heart, they would like you, but instead you're aggravated and you're mad. And so you're like, hey, I'm going to slap you right now, but my heart's right, but I am aggravated right now. I'm mean. Even my dog's mean. Like, he doesn't have fleas. He has hornets. Who am I talking to right now? Because life has a way of hitting you. And then insecure people who left you at some point had to say that you were the problem. Let's talk about that. And when they said you were the problem, there were some kernels of truth in that. So therefore, you believed all of that. So when people leave you, they can't grow with you. They can't go with you. So when they can't grow with you and they leave you, they're not going to leave and be honest and go, the reason I'm leaving is I don't want to really advance in leadership. I don't want to work that hard. I don't like the way the organization is going. So for the betterment of the organization, I think it's good that I move on. Instead, they're going to say, you're a controller. You're no good. This won't work. And then there'll be a few things that are true. And the enemy and the inner me will start working in your head. And now you suffer in silence, but not really, because it's not silent in your head. There's always something going on. Raise your hand if there's something going on. Raise your hand if sometimes even while I'm preaching, you like go somewhere for a minute and then you come back and go, oh, crap, I left. Where was I? You're like, I got to go to Walmart. Come on, somebody. Or not Walmart. I got to go to Target because you're dressed better than Walmart, but I didn't mean it. So I don't want to make anybody insecure while I'm preaching on insecurity. So God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. But if you're not careful, you allow what the world's image says that you should look like. And so you try to like face tune every picture and make yourself look a certain way while you're eating a cheeseburger. And I say, don't try to make yourself look different. Be you and enjoy it. And then all the skinny starving girls will be like, dang, how are you so confident that you don't even wait 30 minutes to go swimming, girl? Like you eat while you're in the chair swimming. Come on, somebody help me. Because you embrace who you are. I'm not done with you yet. I still got more work to do. You better play along, though. You only got 19 minutes and 47 seconds left. I run up and down the highway. My favorite song is Highway Run. That's what I do on Sunday. So my grandma, let's talk about insecurity for a minute. I didn't think of this story last night, but today I was thinking about my grandmother. So my grandma was real tall, like 6 foot, and really a sweet woman. She weighed 3-something. And so she always wore a dress because she wouldn't wear pants, but she felt more comfortable like a sundress. And so many times as 8, 9, 10 years old, I was always the kid that loved to sit on her lap. And so I'd sit on her lap, and it's only this big or whatever, but I would make her laugh. And I would always, I can still feel it today, like I put my hand on the back of her neck on a hot summer's day in St. Louis, and I would feel like she was sweating, but it wasn't like a hot sweat. It was like a radiating, cool sweat that was just happening on the back of this big, awesome, sweet woman. And I loved her. In fact, still, like if I see a big woman at church, I'm like, give me a hug just for a minute. Nicole's like, stop it, leave her alone. But there's something about that I really like. And so I'll sit on her lap and I love her so much. And so I would make her have a good time. And one day I convinced her to go to Six Flags in Eureka. She didn't want to go because she was ashamed. She was insecure. So then once I got her there, I'm like, Grandma, you got to ride the log, right? Come on, just one time. No, I'm not doing that. I'm too big. I want to know. Come on, you got to do it. Let's do it. And I talked her into it. And my dad couldn't believe it. And my aunt, my cousin, nobody could believe it. She would only do it for me. And we got on the log ride together. She's having fun. She's laughing. And I got her laughing. And then at the last minute, when she's getting off the boat, it's slippery. And it's because she's big and she moved away. She slipped and she hit her knee and it cut it open. And people started making fun of her and calling her names. And she's crying in front of everybody. And she said, I told you I shouldn't have done this. And I said, you should do it. And who cares about those people? I was ready to like drown people on the log ride. Like, come here for a minute right now. I'm going to rub your face in her blood. And she's dying of a disease. Come on. Because you just get mad. Anybody like me, you get mad? Some of you are like, now I get even. I see you. So now she leaves and she's so insecure. And it crushed me. I'll never forget it. Because bullies are real. Bullies are mean. But I was confident enough to know that I'm not going to let people bully me. So what do you do with bullies? You report them. You tell on them. You stitch on them. Snitches get stitches. That's okay. Because bullying's not right. But I think the greatest bully in the world is the devil, who tries to get you to bully yourself and not enjoy your life. You are who God created you to be. And God does not look at the outward image of people. Somebody ought to help me right now. And you got to be secure in who you are. Because every week I suffer. Every week. Every week. Every week somebody says, I don't like it. You wear a suit. You wore a suit. It was offensive to me because it makes you better than us. And so then the next week, I wear this. And then somebody will say, you wore your wife's pants. What's up with that? I can't believe it. But you know what? You're still stuck in 1985 where you felt cool and you don't have young people in your life in a small group to tell you, I will not let you wear your hair feathered and you can't wear those parachute pants anymore. It is over. And you don't wear a 32. You wear a 38. Come on, somebody. But you don't have anybody to tell you the truth. So don't allow people to get in your head. You be you, and you be the best you that you can be. So if you like wearing socks, wear them. I don't. I hate socks. Except when I'm sleeping. So weird. I wear socks when I'm sleeping. Nicole's like, I can't believe you wear socks. And then every night I feel her frigid toes come over and hit mine and freeze through my socks too. I'm like, you wear socks, you just wear mine. She's like, no, I can't wear socks. I'm like, then get your cold feet off of my feet. She's like, no, shut up. I married you to keep me warm. Be quiet. I'm trying to sleep. And then I pretend I'm asleep 5 minutes later and accidentally slap her. Come on, somebody. Don't tell her. Anybody ever done that? Come on, somebody. Guys, I'm telling you, we do that. Oh, I'm sorry, I was sleeping. I didn't know. I can't be held accountable. We also fake it when the baby wakes up in the middle of the night and we didn't hear it. Guys are hating me right now. But I outsmarted everybody because I told Nicole, we need to breastfeed Ashton because I believe it's the best way. It is the way God intended for a child to be healthy. And so I think bottles are bad for babies. And she's like, yeah, you're probably right. And so I slept so good. Let's get back in the Bible because I got women hate me now. Like, I liked you a minute ago, but now I can't stand you. You're a pig. Exodus 40, verse 10. This guy named Moses, and Moses already has some self-esteem issues because his mom and dad actually put him in a basket, put him in the river. So picture this. You go out here to Merrimack River, you put the baby in the basket, and you let him go. How many of y'all know that'll freak you out? You're like, now I got picked up by some people that aren't my family. I've never seen my family, really, but actually my mom raises me, but I don't know it's my mom. And so now he's got all these internal insecurity issues. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Can you scan it up a little bit? Keep your eyes on yourself. I'll tell you what it says. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. In other words, Jesus already finished it for you. It's not like, I wonder if I'm going to win or not. I read the back of the book, you win. Study how he did it. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. Now he's there in that place of honor right alongside of God. So back to the top, if you can put verse 2 up again, it says, keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your weight, Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your divorce. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your eating disorder. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your abuse of alcohol, not on your porn addiction. I say, whatever that addiction is that you do, and this is where religious people really freak out. I say, hey, I know you're probably not going to stop doing that. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop. I want you to keep doing what you're doing. So you're smoking weed. I want you to smoke weed. And while you're smoking weed, I want you to say, I thank you, God, that you're delivering me from smoking weed. God, I thank you that someday this is going to make me sick. I'm not going to smoke weed. And then, you know, you go eat your Doritos because you got the munchies. And you say, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. And then what happens is now you're not saying, I'm bad. I can't. I'm never. I'm always. And then you keep that repetitive behavior. You say, you know what? I'm saved by grace. I'm not saved by what I do. Yeah. Joyce Meyer, another person, while I'm putting myself out there, and people are like, I hate Joyce Meyer. I love Joyce. She's a great friend of mine. She's a mom. She texts me back really quick when I have a problem. And Joyce was smoking while she was teaching a Bible study here. Life in the Word was born out of a church called Life Christian Center, and this was it. We bought them. So when they moved on. So she was smoking. Like, can you imagine that? Joyce Meyer's like, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. But she didn't allow her condition to affect her position. So her position was right. Her condition was jacked up. So that's why you go to church even when you're not right, because you don't come to church to clean up. You come to church and then God cleans you up. And as you can clearly see, he's still working on me. Come on, somebody. I've done all kinds of stuff up here today that's not right, but I'm not reading from a script and I know who I am. Who are you? I'm jacked up, but God's working on me. I came from a bad spot, but God is taking me to a good spot. I'm an encouragement to all the people out there who have jacked up, insecure lives, messed up families, and I'm here to tell you, if God can do it for me, he can do it for you, because he's not a respecter of persons. Come on, somebody. He loves you. He loves you. He's proud of you. He sings your praise. He says, look what I made. That's my daughter. That's my son. And he does not look at the outward image. So Moses, Exodus 40 verse 10, it said, but Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I have never been. There's a lot of I's here. I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me, even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue tied and my words get tangled. Moses, insecure because of the whole throw me in a basket, not raised by my family, got mad and killed a guy. Don't you hate it when that happens? And then people find out they saw it. That's even worse. And then now he's doing all kinds of bad stuff. But God chooses him. And I want you to be my spokesperson. I can't talk. So God says, hey, pick up that snake, but don't pick it up by the head, pick it up by the tail. How many of y'all know that's a bad idea? First of all, I want to say it's a bad idea to ever touch any snake. People are like, that's not a poisonous snake. Every snake can give you a heart attack and kill you. So he picks up this snake by the tail, and then it turns into this rod. And so now when you go to the doctor's office, you see this pole and the snake that represents that visitation that God said, I will bring healing to my people. And then God says, hey, Mo, why don't you do this? Put your hand in your jacket. He pulls it out. Oh, I've got leprosy. He says, put it back in. Oh, it's healed. And then seeing all of that, after he sees all of that, he still says, I can't do it. I'm not worthy. I can't finish. I get tongue-tied. And God is saying, hey, why are you saying I? It should be, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I chose the foolish things to confound the wise. If God said I can, I can. That's why you come to worship and you say, I know who I am. I know who I am. Then you know another song, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who he says I am. Instead of singing the blues, you're no good. You live in the hood. Nah, 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 nah. Your daddy's bad. And your mama is. You're hearing all this junk instead of doing life in a circle, in a community of a small group of people who might have the same problem that you had and they overcame it. But now we, oftentimes at church, we do life in rows. There's rows. But life is done better in circles. So at a table, if I were to go to lunch with you, I would try to find a table that was round because most likely they're going to put me all the way down here and you're going to be all the way over there. And I want to talk to you, but I want to talk to them and I want to talk to them. So in a circle, it works great. So that's why small groups, and they talked about it last week, are so important. So, you know, one thing we always talk about every week is you need to today go upstairs there and there's a room of growth track. And so there are 4 weeks of that. It takes like 30 minutes of your time. You connect with God, you connect with people, you discover your purpose, and then you make a difference. So if you know that you've got something to give back to other people, you went through the divorce, you were a single mom, you did have an accident or whatever, so you're in this small group and you say, well, how does that work? How do I find people in this group? Well, let me tell you, this is really how you do it. You find out where a group is. Like, okay, there's a group at Starbucks in Fenton. So you go down there and you don't even necessarily let the people know that you're going. You just walk in and you look at that group and you go, that is so not my group. Those are the weirdest looking crazy people I've ever seen in my life. And they might go, hey, are you here for the small group? And you go, oh no, but I do go to your church. See you later. And so then you find out where the other one is. So then you go to Sunset Hills and you're at Breadco and you walk in and you're like, oh, that's my group. That looks like my baby daddy right there. I'm telling you right now, I'm about to join that group. Somebody ought to say amen to this. This is what happens. You find your tribe within the organization. Because there's a lot of people, a lot of great people here, but there's only certain people like certain things. You like riding motorcycles. They're anti-motorcycles. You like poetry. They like pottery. Whatever it is, there are people in a church of 18,000 people that are here not to compete with you, but to complete you. But if you don't stop being insecure, come on, somebody ought to help me right now. If you don't stop watching online because you think people are going to judge you, when you come here, we don't point the finger at you this way. It's more like this. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23 says this. You are bought with a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. You were bought with a price. The value that should knock out all those questions of insecurity should be, if Jesus died for me, if he hung and bled on the cross, and if I was the only person in the world, he would have done that. And if he were to have to do it again, he would do it again. In fact, he knew the sin that you were going to do prior to you doing it. May I suggest to you that he knows the sin you're going to do in January of 2020 that you don't know you're going to do, that's going to surprise the heck out of you that you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. And he loves you in spite of it, knowing you're going to do it. And he's already paid for the consequences of those sins, and he has forgiven you, so you got to forgive yourself and know if he loves you, then you got to love you. But if you don't love you, you won't allow other people to love you, and then you will become bitter, not better. So when people leave you, you got to let them go. When people show you who they are, you got to believe them. People show you who they are, but you don't believe them because you need somebody bad. I'm lonely. I need somebody bad. We need this whole field in the organization. When you need somebody bad, you will get somebody bad, and your insecurity will not allow you to wait. I would rather suffer waiting for the right person to fill a slot in an organization than put the wrong person in it because I wanted temporary satisfaction, and you don't get long-term gratification from a temporary decision. That's why suicide is bad. People are making life decisions based on a temporary problem. I promise you, if you start doing life in a circle and you get around the right people, your life will get good again. And if you might say, you don't know what life is about. I know what it's like to lose your mom. I know what it's like to lose your dad. I know what it's like to lose your brothers. I know what it's like for it to cost me my wife and got a divorce. I know what it's like to have a miscarriage. I know what it's like to suffer and watch your dad die of cancer. I know what it's like to be betrayed on a weekly basis and still exude joy and love people in spite of some people last night saying, I'm going to kill you. And he was crazy and wanted to do it. But I'm not going to not go in the hallway because some crazy guy. I'm just going to tell the cops, Cray Cray Joe over here wants to kill me, file a report. I can't believe you as a preacher would file a report. Well, if you were me, you would be me. I wouldn't do that if I was you. Well, how do you know? Because if you were me, you would do what I would do. So you don't know how to be me because you've never been me. So you got to be you and keep your mind on you instead of me because you don't know what it's like to be me. You don't know what it's like to be white. You don't know what it's like to be black. You don't know what it's like. I'll never know what it's like to be 6'2". I'll never know what it's like to be as tall as Nicole, but it doesn't set me back. I'm like, get down here, let me kiss you. Woman, come here right now. Come here, come on down here. Just because I'm vertically challenged doesn't mean I'm less of a man. Dynamite comes in small packages. Come on, somebody. Be you. Rock you. If you're white, tan a little. Come on, somebody. and be happy. I'm almost done because I got 1 minute and 30 seconds and I have to go to Earth City. That's why I love streaming, because I have 4 pages of notes to fix you, so come back another time and we'll keep working on your progress. Look at your neighbor and say, he didn't mean it. Last note, I think, is this. If Jesus, out of 12 guys, had Judas that betrayed him, and then Thomas is like doubting him, and they stood beside Jesus and they saw the miracles, what makes you think, knowing you, that you wouldn't have at least that ratio of people that exit your life? And I think one of the biggest things that I struggle with, and I assume you do as well, is just internalize. So when people leave you and they say bad things about you, there are some shred of truth in every lie. And so you take the truth and you have to not listen to all that stuff. And here's the reason why. If you listen to everything and believe everybody, what they said about you, especially when two or three people might say the same thing about you, that still doesn't make it true. It might be that those three people got together and they are in a coup together to try to say that you're this or you're that. And you got to say, okay, now I do need to adjust that for sure. And I need to adjust that, but I'm not who they say I am. Just because you slept in the garage doesn't mean you're a car. Just because kittens are born in the oven doesn't make them biscuits. Just because they said this about you does not mean that's who you are. But when you come to church, you get in a small group and you find out who you are, then you say, yes, I need to work on that. And I'm not going to tear you down to make me feel better. I'm going to pray for you and forgive you and not get bitter, but I'm going to get better, but I'm going to let my life grow. See what I'm saying? Your life's got to get bigger. So when I pastored 200 people, it was different. When I pastored 2,000, it was different. When we went to 5,000, it was different. When we went to 10,000, it was different. We went to 18,000 people now, and it's a total, I don't know. There's people on staff, I don't even know them. I'm like, I met a guy at the hospital yesterday, and Nicole said, he works at the church. And I go, you're kidding me. I had no clue, because it just gets bigger, and you don't know anymore. But you have to grow with it. And so you have to grow. Because whenever there's a problem, it's usually a leadership problem. You're like, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. You're the leader of you. And when you lead you right, other people will follow. And the only way you can lead you right truly is God. And I know it sounds like really weird in today's society, like there are many ways to God and so on. I'm just saying that really, not against any religions or any lifestyles. I'm simply saying that make sure that everything goes back to Jesus. And whatever you're doing, if you're at a Catholic church, a Baptist church, if you're in a relationship that other people say is wrong, or you're doing this vice or behavior and you know it's wrong, or you think it's right and other people think it's wrong, I say, don't focus on what's wrong. Just get the one thing right. And the one thing right is get around Jesus. Where do you get around Jesus? At the local church. And then we'll see how it all shakes out at the end. And I think also, as I close, if I haven't gotten enough trouble yet, let's just try to finish strong. I think when you get to heaven and you're going to go, I think you're going to be surprised about who's there and who's not there. And I also think you're going to be surprised of God's like scorecard of sin. Like, that person over there is a, you know, alcoholic. That person's this, that person's that. And then he's going to put us all in one pot, and they'll be like, you were an overeater, you were a backbiter, you judged the overeater, you were actually a drinker because of the judgmental person that did that. So, you know, here's the deal. My grace is sufficient for all of your sins, and I've forgiven you, and I've taken your sins and thrown them as far as the east is from the west. I wish you would have learned that down there so you could have had some heaven on earth instead of trying to medicate what you should have eradicated. But since you didn't get in a group and you didn't go through growth track and you didn't go to church, you suffered. But I wish you would have came and understood that John 10:10 was true. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you can't have an abundant life focusing on what you're not. I got to quit because I'm 3 minutes over, but one last thing I want to tell you about me to make it real. And I would stream everywhere, but I wasn't here for a couple weeks, so it'd make people mad. So we'll just go with this, but listen quick. I'm going to shut up now about defending what I'm supposed to be saying. So I lay in bed a lot of times than I did last night. But man, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I'd have said this. I didn't do enough of that. I wish I would have done this. And then I have to control my mind and go, David Crank, shut up. You cannot fix what just happened, and you're going to exhaust yourself by morning. You stop it right now, and you go to sleep. And I'm okay for a minute, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done this, and I need to do that. And I'm in Monday. I'm like, you can't be in Monday. You're not even Sunday yet. Stop it. And then I'm like, I'm in here and I don't know what to do. And, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm exhausted and I look up and it's 2 a.m. like, oh my God, now you're doing the math. Anybody ever done the math? Well, I got to get up at 7, what's going on? And so then Ashton woke me up like at 6:45 or whatever. I got to go to band practice. And she came up to me to wake me up because she can't drive yet. Thank God, I wish she could. And so she wakes me up, she says, hey Dad. And I said, huh? Like, you know not to wake me up like that. I almost broke your nose. You got to walk in the room, turn the noisemaker off, and from 10 feet away go, Father. And then you kind of go into, he's a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. But you can't do that. But by the time I go there, by the time I wore myself out, was exhausted, didn't want to take a Tylenol PM because then I would suck for the first service. So you exhaust yourself. But control your mind. I don't always do the best job at this. But if you're suffering in that, I want you to know that God can help you. And the more control you get over the mind, where the mind goes, the mouth follows. And where the mind and the mouth go, the man and the woman follow. So I want to pray for you before we go. Nobody looking around unless you just got to look because you want to, that's fine. But if you say, hey, Pastor, pray for me. I really needed that today. My God, you have no idea. Raise your hand. I want to see that hand all over the building. Okay, you can put it down. Thank you for your honesty. God, I know that you know every person in here that is suffering in silence, doubting, feeling insecure, being bullied by the devil. Even if it's a person, it's really the enemy attacking them. And as their pastor, I pray today, God, that you would help them find out that the key and the solution to their next level is not in rows, but it is in a circle of a small group of this church. May they be convinced today, maybe for the first time, that Growth Track is not just like something that I might try it. It is the next step to recovery, to being the full person that they're called to be. And God, may they for sure know that I love them. Even if I don't know them, I love them. And I want them to know that. And reassure them of that. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.